everybody. Welcome to The Kelly O Show. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. This show is dedicated to inspiring women of all ages to pursue excellence in mind, body, and business. After decades of playing small in my own life and staying in the comfort zone, a couple of years of massive chaos and drama in my personal and my professional life forever changed me for the better. Through some tough lessons, I evolved, and I became a stronger and more confident version of myself, fearless, and finally, unapologetically myself. I am now designing my life bigger and better than ever before, and most importantly, I'm designing a life on my terms that is full of joy and happiness. And I think that this is something that's been missing for so many women. They're either staying in the comfort zone like I was, or they've got a life that looks pretty good on the outside, but it's missing real joy and health and happiness. And that is no bueno. I believe that the future is female, and every week this show is going to bring you incredible interviews and live shows that I hope is going to motivate you to take massive action in your life, to leave the comfort zone and go all in, again, to pursue achieving excellence in mind, body, and in business. I hope you enjoy the show, and let's dive in. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Kelly O Show. Today, we are sharing an interview I did actually a little while ago. So this was some of the leftover shows we had when we transitioned the show from being called Fitfluential Radio to the Kelly O Show. And so I probably had about 10 or 11 episodes, maybe a little bit more, that somehow got lost in the shuffle and were not made live. So you might hear some references to Fitfluential Radio in here. But again, this is a really good episode. Dr. Stephen Lewis is, I'm trying to think of where he's based. You're going to tell the second he starts talking that he's from the Deep South, but he is a wonderfully intelligent human being who knows so much about our hormonal health. In particular, he really is exceptionally insightful on thyroid health, on adrenal fatigue, hypothyroidism, and, you know, the pillars of health is a lot of what we talk about in this episode. And you're going to get, well, really quite a few truth bombs about how you can address some of these hormonal issues that plague so many of us. Every time we have polled our audience, more than 75% of them are suffering from either adrenal fatigue, hypothyroidism, hormonal imbalance. And sadly, so many of you who have written into us haven't even gotten started with getting your blood work done, going to see a doctor who specializes in some of these areas. And while it is frustrating, because it is true that it's not mainstream yet to be able to go wherever you live in the United States and find a doctor who practices integrative medicine or specializes in hormonal health or, you know, women's issues like hypothyroidism. Well, of course, men can have that too. But hypothyroidism, adrenal fatigue, hormonal imbalance, PCOS, all of these issues, it is becoming more common and more accessible. And there are several ways that you can start taking care of these issues by getting blood work on your own. And then, you know, some people, I've done it. I travel up to Austin to see my doctor. I live in San Antonio. If your health isn't worth it, I don't know what is. So be encouraged, but I think you're taking the right step by starting to learn here. But I definitely encourage you to take that next step and getting your blood work done, getting to see a doctor, because your life can be 1000% better when you start addressing some of these really foundational issues of hormone health. So sit back and enjoy. This is a little over about 40 minutes. So I'm going to leave it as a one-part episode rather than divide it up into two. So just know you're looking at about 38, 40 minutes for this episode. But I hope you sit back, enjoy this interview with Dr. Stephen Lewis of Green Wisdom Health. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa, and today on the show, I am pleased to welcome Dr. Stephen Lewis. Dr. Lewis, welcome to the show. I am very excited to chat with you today.
Well, it's good to be here. Thank you. And I'm going to tell everybody, in case you're probably going to pick up on this, Dr. Lewis is also from the state of Texas. And he was explaining to me before the show, because I am so geographically challenged, even though I live in Texas, I'm like, where in the heck is Longview, Texas? But my understanding is it's near Shreveport, and he has the best. You're just going to enjoy listening strictly for his accent, but also tune in, because we're going to be talking about supplements and health, and what a misunderstood topic that can be. Just even the word supplements can give people an automatic, like, kind of chill up their spine in a bad way. And you shouldn't, because this is something really all of us, I take so many supplements, and so many of them have changed my life as well as lifestyle changes. But before we get into that, I think you know the drill, Dr. Lewis. Every time I have somebody on the show for the first time, I always like to hear their background. You have such an extraordinary website, and just you're a wealth of information. Many of these topics we're going to talk about today. But when was it for you that you first, you know, why did you feel led to go into this for your business? When was it that you started becoming very interested in health and wellness, and then in leading others in their health and wellness journey?
Well, as a kid, my family would take us to the chiropractor first, and you know, he would do a lot of supplementation as well as the adjustments, and only if he said to go to the MD or DO, then we would go. And you know, I got this at an early age, and I love our medical profession, but they can't reverse 30 years of bad habits, and they're frustrated too. So I realized that if the body will just, you remove the interference and give it the nutrients to work with, it'll take it and run with it. You don't even have to understand it. You have to do it, you know, correctly. But, so, you know, supplements, I think, is where it's at. Foods, yes, you need to make good food choices, and they're still nutrient deficient. So that's my specialty, is saving the ones that have given up and lost hope.
Well, you know, it's funny, because I know, and we'll get back to supplements specifically, and for a lot of people listening, if you hear the word supplements and it makes you cringe because you're thinking supplements are what bodybuilders take and you're not into that, and it's just all about fat burners and snake oil, you know, sit back and relax and listen, because supplements really can, they are not a, what's the word? They're not a lifesaver in a pill box. But they are absolutely something that can, when used as a supplement to other changes in your life, make a significant difference. But what is interesting to me is how you mentioned food, you know, and you talked about how you know, a lot of doctors, traditional medicine, they're going to try to solve a lifetime of bad choices, whether it's from food, lifestyle, sleep, stress, with a pill, right? And non-traditional medicine, or if you want to look at this as a more holistic approach or a chiropractic approach to health and wellness, is looking at the bigger picture, and that it's not going to be overnight, but making lifestyle changes and changing what you eat and starting to incorporate supplementation, that can reverse quite a lot of what we think is just unsolvable problems. Do you agree? And that's not, I think that people are becoming more open to considering alternative medicine in general. Has that been something that you've seen? It's not as people are discounting it automatically because it's not traditional medicine. I think people are starting to really see where traditional medicine, which is just antibiotics this, antibiotics that, or, you know, high-end pharmaceuticals, it's failing us. Would you agree?
Oh, very much so. It's getting more popular, and I've never really noticed the stigma there, but you know, I'd like to caution the people that are listening that all supplements are not created equal. Some people say, well, it says this and it says that, and it's like, no, some supplements are like your crazy ex, you know, toxic or harmful or won't work or something, but they're not all good. Mm-hmm. And there's not really always good integrity with some of these companies. But that being said, that goes on in the drug industry too. So you have to find someone you trust and, you know, work with the supplements, because they are definitely different in quality.
Oh, and that, you make a good point, because, you know, in fact, the gentleman I was interviewing just before the show, we were talking a lot about, you know, pills and pills that people take for acne and so on. And so many of the things that I have learned in my health journey are, it's sad because it's, we always say hindsight is 20/20, right? But I look back and I think about when I was 19 and I was put on the birth control pill. And the way it was sold to me, you know, at Planned Parenthood, they're like, this is going to be so awesome. You're only going to have your period for a day and a half and you'll never have it on the weekend. And it's only going to cost you, you know, $5 a month. And I'm like, sign me up. That's fine. And I had no idea what that pill was doing for me. So I love how you brought that up, that, you know, it's very easy for us to look at supplements, or we go into a health food store or a health store and we see all these pills and we think, there's no way that can work. And there's no, and we're very critical. And yet at the same time, I've never thought about it that way. Too many people are not looking critically enough at the over-the-counter medications that they're taking, or the high-end pharmaceuticals or prescription drugs that they're taking, and the list of side effects. I'm one of them. I never looked at anything that I was prescribed. I never looked at the side effects. And I can only see it now when I look back at, you know, oh, wait, I remember that I started gaining weight after going on the pill. I remember that I started getting headaches after I went on this medication. I remember this. And it's funny that you brought that up, because far too many people are critical of the wrong things and not critical of the right things. Does that make sense, the way I said it? Is that what you see?
Well, you know, drugs are they can be very, very life-saving, but now, let me give you a good example. In 1980, America gave more drugs, more surgery, more diagnostic tests than any nation on the face of the earth, and we were number 17 in overall health. And you think, well, that may not be the drugs. There may be other issues. But in 20 years, we increased our surgeries, increased our diagnostic tests. We quadrupled the amount of drugs prescribed to people. And we went from number 17 to number 37 in overall health.
Wow.
Yeah, that should tell you everything you need to know. And I'm not anti-drug. They've saved my life and they've done some really, really good things for me. But we are not healthy in America. And I've studied in China and I've been to Europe and I've seen that, yeah, Americans, not only are we obese and full of, you know, PCOS, hormonal imbalances and thyroid and adrenal problems, we're not happy. And it's like, we don't have any reason not to be happy. The people in Europe are happier, and the people that are worked to death in China were happier. And I think being healthy, you know, I hit it nutritionally, but we have to reach back into the spirit and find out what we're grateful for and start focusing on the goal, and we can get healthier and happier more quickly.
I am writing, hold on. Focus on the goal. Sorry. Those are some major wisdom bombs there. And I love it. Because the truth is, so much as well, and I was just talking to a girlfriend of mine today, and she's going through a really rough time, and she's having, you know, skin issues, weight issues. I mean, she's going through some major stress, and I've shared quite transparently on here and on my social platforms, the last 2 years of my life have been filled with more chaos and transition and stress than I've had in my entire life. And guess what? My health was impacted. I've never had migraines until recently. I've never had, you know, my doctor at one point said, you're getting an ulcer. You know, I mean, it, the health is the worst when the stress is the worst. And when you said we're not happy and other countries have more inherent happiness, irregardless, you didn't say this, but irregardless of, you know, financial status or whether or not their job is tough, they have just happiness. And I don't think that that's something that's focused on at all or enough in our country. And we didn't know we were going to talk about this, but happiness is tied to, you know, if you're inherently unhappy, you're probably ridiculously stressed. And if you're ridiculously stressed, everything in your life is going to be affected that way. And happiness will evade you. Whereas if you pursue happiness and come from a position of gratitude, things can change. I'm sure you probably have seen, how would you define the difference in Western medicine or Chinese medicine versus over here? Is it based on something as vague or ambiguous as having gratitude and your attitude? What's the biggest difference?
Well, I think we all should be happy, and what we focus on, we create more of. The patients I have, if they focus on what they want, they get it faster. If you focus on what you have, you kind of retard your your growth. But I think the problem is that we've become a reductionist society. Oh, well, she's a thyroid. No, you've never seen a thyroid walk into an office. She is a whole person, and you need to look at her. What's going on in her life? And what's her adrenals doing in response to the thyroid? And what are her hormones doing? And of course, you know, we take relapsing CEUs every year, and they say, well, for prevention of malpractice or sexual harassment, you should never hug a patient. So what I do? I come home and hug more of them. So and I was told yesterday on a podcast, and he's from New York. He really liked my accent, but he says, yeah, when you touch a patient, you actually validate them as a human being. The number one fear in people is the fear of rejection. So it's the doctor's obligation to get in and understand and validate that human being and tell them it's okay and tell them there is a way toward health, happiness, prosperity.
Oh my God. I so agree with you. And I think about the years that, you know, I first started really seeing that there was something wrong with my body when I was going through my divorce, and I started breaking out in this horrible, I was looking at it as a rash, but it was really just this like almost hives combined with, you know, cysts on my neck. And then it spread to my back and my arms, and then my weight changed, and then my body temperature changed. So it was like, welcome to getting divorced. And then my hormones started getting, you know, into whack. And I remember going to see my doctor and, you know, saying like, there's something wrong with me. And I could tell he wasn't listening. And then he sent me to a dermatologist, and then that dermatologist spend even less time. Like you were saying, when you validate somebody and look them in the eye and listen and go, what's going on? As opposed to at that time, they just put me on Accutane and they just said, you know, I was in and out of the doctor's office in 5 minutes. And, right. You know, I understand that's how the medical practice works. They have to turn them and burn them when it comes to patients, you know, based on healthcare. That's what that's, and it sucks, but you've got to find, luckily I have a doctor where, you know, we don't even deal with insurance. I go in and I pay a premium so that I can have a half an hour or an hour with him, and he listens, and it's a collaborative effort. That's the way it should be. It should be collaborative. And what we try to encourage people, what I try to encourage people on Fitfluential Radio and on my platforms is becoming an advocate for yourself. Speaking up, you know, whether you're seeing your chiropractor or you're talking with your dietitian or your doctor, you should, if something doesn't sound right, ask questions, do some research, bring that research and bring it to that practitioner and ask, you know, what about this? Because it can be much more collaborative, and it should be, as opposed to, you know, just, hey, I suck, something's wrong with me, just give me something to fix it.
You know, that's putting it very nicely. That's the beauty of what I do. It's people that realize that they have to take responsibility for their own health. And they say, well, does insurance cover it? I said, no, if they do, I quit, because they still owe me a few million for the first 30 years of practice. This is, I give my lab work away so cheaply that I've had medical doctors come and order their lab through me because I sell it cheaper than they can order it on themselves. Because I have a big volume, I get really good prices, and I pass it along. So these are people, I say, no, I'm not playing with your insurance companies. They lie, they cheat, they steal. Let's take responsibility. And people are like, oh man, that's good. I've seen so many miracles that humbles me every day. And it's like, it's the people that do the work. They're consistent and they have positive expectations. And it works real well with time.
You know, I love what you're speaking to today about, number one, as a patient, taking responsibility. I do think that's key. I think when we act passive, like, well, there's something wrong with me, and if this guy's not going to give me a pill, somebody else will. It's not a pill specifically, right? It's not some prescription drug that is going to make you all better. You have to take responsibility, and you'll, frankly, it's so empowering when you start to understand how your body works and what, like you said at the beginning of the show, what a magnificent machine it is that, I mean, we're equipped to be able to heal so much if we give our bodies the chance to do so. But the more you understand about the human body and hormones and how everything is connected, you will feel more empowered to be more collaborative, but also to take responsibility. You know, I'm able now to look back at all of these choices that maybe I thought I was making, but I really wasn't, you know, going on birth control pill, allowing myself to be on antibiotics for all this time of my adult life. I mean, the majority of my adult life, I've been on antibiotics nonstop, maximum dose, and allowing myself to give into stress as opposed to controlling stress. And now that I'm really becoming that advocate for, you know, damn it, I'm not willing to accept that at age 49, it's all downhill from here. I absolutely disagree. I think we can become better and feel better and look better as we quote unquote age. And I'm seeing it all the time, but it does take taking responsibility. Do you see that as a challenge for people when they first come to you, that they're just looking really for a quick fix as opposed to really understanding the big picture about their lives and their health?
Well, the ones that say, well, Medicare cover it, you know, that age group are pretty much like, I'm going to let the government or whatever take care of it. You know, my patients are mostly female. Women listen better to their bodies and they take advice better because they've got a BS detector. BS stands for belief systems. They have a detector and they can recognize. And I tell them, I said, listen with your intuition. If it feels good, jump on the train. Don't ever come back. But, you know, don't look back. But I don't know. I'm getting younger and younger people in their 20s and 30s that are saying, wow, I don't want to be like my parents that are 50 and already had their heart attack. So it's getting younger and younger where people are beginning to realize, hey, I can control this.
It's really true. And we talked about this a little bit before the show, and I'm going to bring it up here because it's relevant. You know, we are seeing in the fitness space, you know, quite often if you bring up something like hormones or estrogen dominance or, you know, even something like cortisol, right?
Right.
You bring up anything like that, and a lot of women are going to think, oh, that's what happens when you're in menopause. That's what happens when you're in perimenopause or maybe in your 40s. And, you know, I'm 25 on this. We are seeing more and more women reach out to us. And I was amazed at this at first because I'm 49. I started dealing with hormonal issues. I think it was around age 39, about 10 years ago is when my world started turning upside down. It's been such a joyride. But more and more women in their 20s, in their 30s, all ages are experiencing some of these, I'm just going to say health issues versus strictly fitness issues. And I'm going to draw the line and identify the correlation is this. There's a lot of women who are pursuing a fit body and they have a fitness career and they're pushing and pushing to get fit and work out. And some of them end up doing what's very natural, overtraining, under eating. I was one of them. And a lot of these women who are entrepreneurial in nature, a lot of those are in our Fitfluential community. They're that type A alpha female overachiever, right? And they're trying to work up and keep up with the men in the business space. And so they're working extra hard. They're trying to take care of kids. They're trying to take care of their body. And they're pushing, 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 pushing. And what's happening is we're starting to see quite a lot of them ending up broken, for lack of a better way of saying it. You know, their hormones are depleted. Their cortisol is either way too high or way too low. I noticed on your website with your products, you've got products that are for helping raise low cortisol and lower high cortisol. Right. And cortisol is an issue that's very misunderstood, right? So many people hear cortisol, they're like, oh, it's stress. You can have high or low. I have ridiculously low cortisol recently. But people, if they don't know what it is, they're going to go out and find a product and take the wrong product. And maybe that's a good place for us to start talking about some of the supplements that can help in a more holistic way or an alternative medicine kind of way with some of these health issues. When someone's first starting down this road, I'm guessing you're going to say, which I would agree with, that the first step is getting blood work done. Obviously, people can link, you know, through your site to get blood work, but blood work for me was the game changer. But after that, you know, how is it that people start to understand from a supplement perspective, what do I take? How do I know what I need to take? How do you start guiding people that come to you? And, you know, I mean, I'm just curious, do you just work with people in person that are in the Texas area where you, or do you work with people also online?
No, all over the country. And, you know, I talk to people in other countries, but it's hard to ship supplements there. You know, I have them from Maine to Minnesota to Florida and Washington and California. So, you know, I do most of this on the phone and through the internet. But, you know, the lab work will reveal it. I do a very incredibly extensive amount of lab work for a really ridiculously low price. And you don't have to do that, but you're going to waste time and money if you don't.
I agree. I agree. And I will tell everybody from my own experience. It wasn't until I remember having years of, you know, after the skin issues and the hormones and my body temperature changed, and I was going from doctor to doctor to doctor, and all they did was put me on different antibiotics and maxing out the antibiotic dose and doubling that up. And it was, you know, so frustrating. And then I would keep going from trainer to trainer and saying, please fix me. This trainer isn't able to make me lose weight. I can't. And I would just train harder and harder and harder. I was training 2 hours a day, 6 days a week, and dieting and dieting and dieting. And my body was just stuck. And I kept blaming me. I kept blaming, oh, it must be that I had an extra ounce of chicken. It wasn't that there was something fundamentally wrong. And God bless my friend, Whitney Jones, who's a trainer out in, and she's a figure competitor out in Arizona. She's like, I'm happy to, when we first met, we just really struck it off as friends very quickly. And she said, I'm happy to create a plan for you. But I think based on what I know about you with your medication and being on the pill for all this time and being on spironolactone, I think you have major hormonal issues. And if you don't get blood work done, you're going to be dealing with the same thing. She's like, I'm happy to charge you for a program, but you're going to hit the wall. And she pushed me and pushed me and pushed me for 6 months to get my blood work done. Because I think the truth is, and I wonder if you deal with this, I think a lot of women might be where I was, where I didn't want to get blood work done because what I thought would happen is I'm going to get blood work done and it's going to show there's nothing wrong with me and I'm going to feel like an idiot. Because I felt really embarrassed about the fact that I ate so right and I trained so hard and I couldn't lose weight. And in fact, I was thicker rather than thinner. And so I was embarrassed. And I think I was terrified to get blood work and have it come back normal. And I was so relieved when I got my blood work done. And it was like, well, you are a shitstorm of health problems. You know, that's basically what the blood work showed. And it was such a relief to understand that, okay, I'm experiencing all of these health issues for a reason. There's a reason I haven't been able to sleep and I'm taking Excedrin PM every night to fall asleep. There's a reason that I can't lose weight. And so again, I want for everybody listening, get your blood work done. Do you think, Dr. Lewis, that there's a lot of women out there that maybe have that same fear? That they don't get blood work done because they think, well, other doctors have told me there's nothing wrong with me. What could blood work tell me?
Well, what I tell them is, they look at the ranges and my wife says I need to be more tactful and more intelligent and say it differently, but I'm not smart enough. These ranges on these labs cover 95% of America. And these ranges on the labs cover the 400-pound Walmart people that we make fun of. And they're wonderful people, but it covers a sick America. Like, for example, you talk about cortisol. Mm-hmm. The normal range on most labs are 4 to 22. Mm-hmm. That's not normal. That's common. And just because it's common, we mistake it as normal. Optimal is about a 10 to a 15, because if you're, you know, running at 4, 5, 6, 8 on the cortisol, you know, you have adrenal exhaustion. And even the medical profession says chronic adrenal exhaustion can take 2 or 3 years to rebuild because you're still getting stress every day. But if your cortisol goes up, see, mine went up to 16 and a half, which is not too bad, but my blood pressure was hitting 180 over 120. So I had to lower it down. It turned out that was some, you know, chemicals from dental work. But so if the upper end is 22 and you're an 18 or 20, which I see very commonly, you're like going down I-35, which is incredibly stressful anyway, but you're going 107 miles an hour waiting for the crash. And sooner, then you go into adrenal exhaustion eventually. So don't look at what those reference ranges are. There is an optimal range in there, but not the broad range that they give you.
It's so true. And people, I mean, we have so many, for example, you know, I think I shared with you that my cortisol was really low. My recent blood work showed, I think I was at either a 4 or a 6. And I remember my doctor said to me, he's like, based on when we took your blood work, we did it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And he's like, your cortisol is so low that I'm wondering, like, how are you functioning in the afternoon? And right. And then the more that I did, because I've just become an avid researcher, I research it and I understand. And I read a great book by Susie Cohen, who I think has written some fantastic material about, you know, the bad drugs and what they do to our body. And I started to understand that my low cortisol was, it was a perfect correlation between me getting headaches all the time. And again, right. People, the more you start to understand, instead of just going, well, I get headaches all the time, I'm just going to keep popping Excedrin, understand, you know, the origin of it. And then you can start to say, okay, well, I have low cortisol. What can help me get that cortisol up? Part of that is lifestyle. This is my paraphrasing, my understanding. Part of what happens when you have these issues, low cortisol, high cortisol, thyroid, hypothyroid, hyperthyroid, whatever, there's things that you can do in your life and your diet to change. And then you take the supplements and you say, okay, this supplement, this vitamin can help with, you know, and for me, I mean, if you could see the amount of pills I take every day, some people are like, that's crazy. You know what? It adds up and it starts to work. And I have seen change yes. in what I have started to incorporate from a supplement perspective and people that follow me on social in the last 6 weeks. And when I went to get blood work done 8 weeks ago with Dr. Sebring, it showed my thyroid and my estrogen and everything at one point. And then 6 weeks later, the estrogen was better. The cortisol was better. It was not, you know, it wasn't done, right? It wasn't at its perfect place, but I'm on the way. So all this stuff adds up and people just need to understand you've got to get the blood work done. So I'm just going to tell everybody, if you're listening and you haven't gotten your blood work done, your life will change when you see what's going on underneath the skin. And, you know, when you first work with patients, and by the way, for everybody listening, the reason I asked Dr. Lewis if he sees patients locally versus online, there is a definite shortage of qualified practitioners out there who understand what we're talking about today. And the number one question that we get from people writing in, women writing in is, okay, I get it. I need to get my blood work done, but how do I find a doctor or how do I find a practitioner who can help me once I get my blood work done? And that's why I'm asking individuals like Dr. Stephen Lewis to come on the show, because if we can find somebody that's out there that we can refer people to, that you guys out there can start getting your blood work done and start getting some help. It breaks my heart when I hear these women. And again, Dr. Lewis, they're writing into us and they're 26, 27 years old, and they're dealing with just a destroyed metabolism, cortisol issues, adrenal fatigue. It's so common. Are you seeing that this is increasing as well when it comes to females? You know, you said that you deal with more females in general, but are you seeing that it's not just, you know, the 40 plus females, that this is starting to, these hormone and greater lifestyle issues are happening at a younger age?
You know, it really is. And one of the things you have to realize is that the hormonal imbalances come because we have things in our environment that off-gas estrogen mimickers, and that's plastics, pesticides, carpets, styrene, styrofoam, benzene, when you fill up your car, it all outgasses things that act as estrogen. And that's why men have a, you know, just low testosterone for most men. You see the ads on low T. And that's why little girls develop their secondary sex characteristics much more, many years more quickly than they did even when I was a kid. So yes, it's becoming more common. But just because it's more common doesn't mean you can't have a healthier, happier life if you work toward it.
Yep.
I'd like to kind of caution people diet is incredibly important. Okay, diet changes to get away from these things that are full of pesticides, that's why I'm pretty much anti-grain. But I treat organic farmers in probably 15 different states. I treat people that own the largest organic farm in Oklahoma. And even though they eat organic, they don't experience toward 100% health until they supplement. One guy says, well, I got first runner-up best organic farm within a year of working there because I've been taking your supplements 2 years, and he talks like this. He's real hyper. And he says, I feel great. I got best runner-up organic farm. And I got off your stuff, and I feel like blank. I said, well, you didn't read what I told you to read. You've got to take the supplements. He said, but I do organic. I said, the research says you may have one part per million or 16,000 parts per million of manganese, molybdenum in organic food. So still, even though it's organic and you're not getting the pesticides, you still don't know what quality or quantity of the nutrients that you're getting. So diet is important, but it's not complete.
That's interesting. And, you know, I remember that, like me, about 3 years ago, I really rolled my eyes at anybody. It was really when the non-GMO movement was picking up steam. And I found it really annoying back then because I'm like, oh my God, all these people, you know, I want to be able to have my Pop-Tarts and, you know, have packaged food. And I just thought it was silly. I found it annoying. And I remember I was one of those people that I thought if you go to Walmart, you know, back in the day when I lived in Chicago, I was really close to Trader Joe's and Walmart. And I did most of my shopping at Trader Joe's. But right. I didn't focus on buying organic. And I would go buy, you know, steaks if we were going to cook out. And I'd just go buy, I don't know, some Black Angus, whatever it was at Walmart. Now that I know how much, what the hormones that are put into, you know, the animals and the, like you said, the pesticides. And we think, oh, we'll just scrub it off. It's like when people are wearing hazmat suits to spray vegetables so they can sit longer on the Walmart shelf or the Jewel or HEB, whatever it is, you know, think about that. Are you really scrubbing that off? And we don't think about that until you start to understand that all of these things that are those inputs. And it's so ironic. We were having this very topic I was discussing with the guest I interviewed before you earlier today. We were talking about estrogen dominance in men and how, you know, how does that happen? Well, it happens environmentally. It happens, you know, with a lot of these things that we're not paying attention to. And when you really start to get it, people, when you're listening to this and you start to sit back and go, okay, you know, what's the tap water like in my house? You know, have I been buying organic food? I mean, my parents' generation, trying to get my mom and dad to stop buying skim milk was literally like climbing an ice mountain to get them to, you know, it's a different way of thinking. But I used to be the same way too. So I love that you said food isn't everything. I do think that's a good step to make is getting in that direction of understanding that importance. But then what a great point is for somebody like myself, people use me as an example. I was the girl that never took a multivitamin. I never took anything until the past couple of years. And I started with a high quality fish oil. I'm happy to share all of the supplements I'm taking. I'm here in San Antonio at my man friend's house. And right now I'm coming from Austin. So when I came here for 4 or 5 days, I bring a Trader Joe's bag full of all my supplements because I'm not going to not take them. And I take them religiously. I take them every day when I pack for a trip. I've got to, you know, give myself 20 minutes to pack all my supplements in my little containers and divvy it up. But you know what? It has made a difference. And when you have all the issues I have, and many of you that are listening, I know you have hypothyroidism, you have cortisol issues, you have adrenal fatigue. Trust me when I say this kind of stuff, plus the lifestyle changes, it can add up. So that was just a heavy plug for everything that you do. But I'm really glad that you take patients online because truthfully, that's the number one question we get. And people will ping me on Instagram and they're like, oh, well, that's great. I can get blood work done, but you do have the ability for me to see somebody. I'm in Oregon, you know, and I don't, there's no doctor out here. There's no Dr. Sebring and, you know, yada, yada. I've had some people that have flown in to see my doctor, but it's really great that we have you as another, you know, qualified practitioner that they can work with. I'd like to kind of wrap up today with a point you made earlier, because I think it's a really good takeaway and something that people don't understand the impact of. And that's, you know, you mentioned being happy, and I'm going to tie that in with stress, because I think a lot of, would you agree that quite a lot of our hormone issues, adrenal issues, thyroid issues, when you dial it back and you start maybe reverse engineering that, a lot of that can be tied to massive amounts of stress in our life, certainly toxins, but stress. And so you had mentioned, you know, you advise your patients to start focusing on happiness and gratitude because that yes. can affect your health. Do you agree that, I mean, how important would you say to people listening, because people discount this all the time, how important is it to reduce stress and focus on being happy for your health?
Oh, it's absolutely imperative. If you want something, you have to give it. It's like planting a seed. You know, when I don't think I have enough money, I start giving money away and try to buy lunch for people and not get caught at it, or buy, you know, their coffee. I try to bless them in ways and not get caught at it. If I don't feel appreciated, I start writing thank you notes to everybody that's done something for me, which then I run out of thank you notes because I'm so blessed. Hmm. You have to give what you want to get back. And I tell my patients that there's something I read years ago. It said nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Therein lies the peace of God.
Hmm.
Most people just think incorrectly. It's like, oh, good God, why are you worrying about it? It's not going to happen anyway. And if it did, it wouldn't be half as bad as you think. Chill out. It's how we are conditioned to think. And when, you know, we get on the elevator and everybody's quiet, except when I'm on the elevator, I will have them laughing before they hit the next floor. You spread joy wherever you can, and that's the foundation for good health.
I agree, and it really is how you choose to, you know, stuff's going to happen. And I heard somebody, it was in one of the books I read. I think it was called The Zen of Happiness, something like that. I'll have to link that up in the show notes. But they said, think about a football game. You know, every football game is going to have a winner and a loser. And mm-hmm. it's the same outcome. But one team is going to walk away from that game really unhappy and pissed off. And another team is going to look at the same outcome and be extremely happy, right? So it's the same outcome, but two different reactions and two different ways that two different groups of people are going to go home feeling differently. It's the same thing in life. And, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine recently, and what could be more common than financial stress, right? And this woman was talking to me and she was saying, you know, I'm just so worried about this bill I can't pay. And I said, well, obviously it's good that, you know, you want to be responsible, but you know, what's going to happen if you get on the phone? Like, do you have the money that this company wanted? I don't know, like $5,000 from her for something. And she said, I don't have it. And I said, okay, so there's only so much you can do. You can either write them a check for $5,000 or you can't. So if you don't have it, you know, get on the phone and tell them. Chances are, I don't think they're going to send warriors to your house to pick you up and string you out and set you on fire, right?
Well,
you know,
right.
And see, we don't think that way. We just think, oh my God, and I don't have money. It's so bad. But if you start to dial it back, and it doesn't mean you don't have responsibility. It doesn't mean that you take things lightly. But if you realize, like, I just don't have that to give you. Let's see what we can work out. You know, you're not going to be set on fire. You're not going to be Joan of Arc today. So calm down. It's going to affect your health if you don't calm down. And there's a solution for everything. It might not be a not painful solution, right? You know, sometimes you have to go through payment plans or whatever if it has to do with money. There is a next step to take for everything. And I've learned to have a much better perspective and react more calmly to negative situations. And it cuts down the headaches. It cuts down the stress. So I love that. And I also love what you said earlier, you know, don't focus on what you don't want. Now this might sound very law of attraction, but it's so true. If you focus on your problems and what you have versus where you want to go, you know, how healthy do you want to be? What kind of loving relationship do you want to have versus my life sucks. I don't have any dates. I never get out. Well, what are you going to do about it? Like, focus on where you want to go. I think it's very easy for many of us to feel unhappy, feel unmotivated, but yet we don't even take a step back and go, you know what? All I do is whine and complain. All I do is look at my problems, and I'm not taking action towards where I want to be. If you make that shift and have that awareness, everything's going to change in your health, but also in your life. And I know I sounded very Oprah right there, but I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. Dr. Lewis, this was such a great show, and I love your philosophy. I love your attitude. I love your accent. I want to have you back. I do. I think you have a really no-nonsense approach, but you obviously really know your stuff. And your website I want you to tell people in closing, number one, where can they find you online? I know that they can access ordering blood work for themselves on your website. And obviously, if they can find out more information about potentially hiring you as a practitioner for them, for their health, where can they do that?
Well, go on greenwisdomhealth.com and fill out a health survey, and I will call you. It's rare that anybody else calls. It's almost always me. So fill out a health survey, or you can listen to my podcast there too. But, you know, the main thing is that you have to make this investment, because you talked about financial stress, and it's like, well, it's better to put a little bit into supplements now or pay a huge bill for a disease later and cause financial stress. You've kind of expounded on a lot of wisdom yourself. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you. I've had to travel a rough road with some tough lessons, but I honestly, I wouldn't, as much as I, if I would have known what some of what was coming down the road with health issues and life chaos and drama, I would have opted out. But you know what? If I would have opted out, I would not be the person I am today. And I wouldn't have the opportunity to teach what I could teach, you know, about health, about, you know, being an advocate for your health, being more collaborative with your practitioners, and that life can get better as you get older. Not, you know, it's not all downhill. It really can. You can get healthier and happier as you get old. That's not a cheesy cliche. It's absolute truth. And it's really just, it's been a pleasure. I want to have you back on the show. I love your attitude, like I said, and thank you so much for this first chat. I will follow up with you offline. For everybody listening, if you have any questions that we can pass on, of course, we encourage you to go to Dr. Lewis's website directly and engage with him directly there. But if you have questions that you'd like us to cover when we have him back on the show, you can email those to podcast@fitfluential.com. And you can also use that same email address if you are interested in potentially sponsoring future episodes, or if you have somebody you'd like to nominate for us to interview in 2019. Thank you so much for listening to Fitfluential Radio. We will see you next time.
I hope you enjoyed this interview with Dr. Stephen Lewis. I know I sure enjoyed just interviewing him. He educated me during the interview, which is one of the coolest things about having a podcast is you get to learn while you're doing your job. Very cool thing. So anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed this show. If you have any questions for Dr. Lewis, of course, we encourage you to connect with him directly, and we will link up to all of his websites and how you can contact him on the show notes at thekellyoshow.com. If you have any questions about future episodes, if you would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, or if you would like to recommend yourself or somebody else to be interviewed on this show, you can email my assistant, Angie@kellyalexa.com. Or you can email, fill out the contact me form rather on kellyalexa.com. Lastly, if you do have a moment and you're enjoying this show, we would really love it if you would not only share this with some of your friends on social media, but if you would head on over to iTunes, take 2 to 3 minutes out of your day. You can do it from your phone. You can do it from your desktop. Write us a review of The Kelly O Show, because the more reviews we have, the more we are able to get this wonderful information out to more people who could really benefit from it. And I would sincerely appreciate it. So thank you so much for tuning in. We will see you next time on The Kelly O Show.